The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Pick the conservative, not the convict. Re-elect conservative DJ Swearingen as our state representative.
Paid for by Ohio House Republican Alliance.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before. Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look. The sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David, they add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. As for the enemies of freedom, those who are potential adversaries, they will be reminded that peace is the highest aspiration of the American people. We will negotiate for it, sacrifice for it. We will not surrender for it now or ever. We are Americans.
Welcome to Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on AM 1420, The Answer.
Good morning and welcome to Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer. In for Bob this morning, I'm Rob Walgate from the American Policy Roundtable, and it's an honor to be in the chair and to sit with you and be with his audience. And Seth on the other side of the glass, spinning tunes, pushing buttons, making sure that I don't royally screw this up. How about that? Does that work for you, Seth?
I think you're going to be just fine.
All right. Well, we're going to have a lot of fun today. I know we have a lot to talk about. It's Free for All Friday, 216-901-0945. I don't know if anything happened over the past 14 hours that any of the listeners would want to talk about, or if there's anything that was said or going on that anyone would like to have a discussion item on. I have some thoughts on some things that happened last night that I would like to talk about, but I would like to hear from you at 216-901-0945, and obviously referring to the State of the Union address that was given last evening by President Joe Biden, and what he said and how he said it and what that means as we head into the next 8 months of campaign season. So we have plenty on the table. We're going to talk State of the Union. We're going to talk Ohio politics. We're going to talk what you want to talk about as well. So I encourage you to use those phone lines, and we are going to make sure that we get to your calls. But before we get started, as Bob does every morning, we encourage you to stand if you're able and for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
For all. Maybe that's something the president should have started with last night in the State of the Union address. Maybe he should have started with the pledge, went from there, and then maybe just departed, did the hugs, handshakes, kisses. He couldn't kiss Bernie. Bernie had his mask on, so that would have been a little bit difficult. Bernie with the virtue signal in 2024 to send that message to all of us. I think he does it just to get people maybe a bit fired up, give some people something to talk about. They probably all laughed about it together in the rotunda when it was all said and done last night. But when you look at the State of the Union address, and it was like they were late. Did you notice that, Seth, coming on the air late? Little roadblock, I heard.
Protest going on, yeah.
Protest. So the president was late, and I listened to the first half of the speech in the car. So I went to Youngstown last night. I went and watched a college basketball game Cleveland State at Youngstown State. And I was heading home from that. It ended about 9 o'clock, so we threw the radio on. And we listened, and obviously we knew he was late getting started. And I know, but as it pertains to President Biden, I know there's a ton of jokes made about his age, him staying up late. He referenced that. I am sure in the days leading up to the speech and all the practice time available, I am sure they kept him up late to practice the speech at the time it was going to be last night. He practiced it numerous times. He went over it. Let's face it. He didn't write the speech. None of the presidents write the speech. They may give input on something here or there, but it may have been one of the least unifying, most politically charged campaigns, State of the Unions, that has been given in years and years and years. So he practiced, and he did. There were pictures out there. He did practice with some former presidents, did he not?
I guess, yes, if you want to call it that.
Morgan Freeman. Who else was Gina Davis in the picture? There were others.
Michael Douglas.
But yeah, obviously people that have played presidents in film or on TV, they made an appearance in Washington, D.C. to help the president practice and seem presidential. So he called in the actors for that. He was, I don't know, was he channeling his inner Reagan? I don't know. He mentioned Reagan. About 6 minutes within the first 6 minutes of the speech, he talked about Ronald Reagan. I mean, he talked about FDR, he talked about Lincoln, and he talked about Reagan all within the first 6 minutes of the speech. So let's talk about the speech. And if you want to talk about it, 216-901-0945. And if you want to talk about something else, let's talk about something else. Your show on Fridays on AM 1420, The Answer.
The one person he didn't talk, well, he talked about, but he didn't mention his name. He talked about Trump 13 times.
13 times.
And never didn't mention by name.
Never by name. The most times that a political rival opponent has been mentioned by someone in the State of the Union, but not by name. I'm glad he didn't say his name because we would have never known who, you know, I needed him to say his name. We didn't know who he was talking about. It was just one of those nights. But the history of the State of the Union, you go back to the 30s, FDR, the start of it. I believe Truman was the first one to have it on television in the 40s. And give us an update of how the Union is doing, how our republic is doing. Well, I would say how the republic is doing. I think Joe Biden would say how our democracy is doing. He may not understand the difference and what that means. But I also understand that these are a play on words, and things are said in these speeches to elicit emotion, to get people fired up, and to give us something to talk about. And that's what he was doing last night. I thought it was a very interesting way to start. When he started, I mean, he talked about, I believe right off the rip, he talked about 1941. He talked about FDR and Hitler on the move. Hitler on the move. President Biden, what are you referencing? Hitler on the move? And you're comparing the state of our union today to Europe in the early 40s? We have some problems and issues in this country. I'll be the first to say that. We have major issues. I think the most major issue of them all, it took you 40 some odd minutes to hit on, to get to, but to go there, I mean, right off the rip, and you didn't, when you were practicing that, I wonder if the president was like, whoa, is this maybe a touch dramatic? And again, I know we're going to go back to the age. I know we're going to talk about him being over the age of 80. I honestly feel terrible. One time, as you know, in our work with the American Policy Roundtable, we get the opportunity to talk and do analysis on shows all across the country. We have the Public Square Media Network and the stuff we do. And the one time we talked about it, you know, I had someone text me and I got a phone call saying I was a little harsh on him because of his age, and they likened it to elder abuse. I was like, well, I was trying to be respectful of the president. I wasn't trying to abuse him. I think we're getting to the point to where it's elder abuse than putting him out there every single week to watch him fumble and bumble and stumble. Listen, we've all had people in our lives, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, that have gotten to that age where they've started to lose it a little bit. When is the last time you've been around someone that has started to lose it a little bit, and then 8 months later you said, you know what, they're coming around. They're getting a little bit better. They're getting a little bit sharper. They're doing things a little bit. I didn't think they would bounce back in their mental state in that way. Is that it doesn't happen that way. It doesn't work that way. But obviously, the Democrats have a problem when it comes to the November election, and that problem last night was over President Biden's right shoulder. That's who their problem is, and no one talks about it out loud. They don't know what to do with the vice president because they can't agree if she should be the nominee. So you're going to tell the vice president, who was recognized last night, I believe, as being, when he selected her, he talked about wanting to choose a minority woman. And look at me here. I'm shaking a little bit, get sweat, because I know you talk about this subject and it's like one wrong word here or there and a career is down the drain, right? I mean,
yeah, we'll see it tomorrow. Never again.
Yeah. I mean, so, I'm sitting here like I don't want to fumble and bumble and stumble through my words, but that ends up happening because that's the reality of it. He said she was being chosen for a reason. And remember, not long before she was chosen to be his vice president, she, in essence, called him a racist during one of the debates based on one of his votes in the United States Senate. She lit him up. That's what happens in party politics. I think the both political parties are part of the demise of this country. But that's what happens in party politics. And the Democrats have a problem. They know that there is zero chance Joe Biden can serve. What he would be leaving office if he were to win in January of 2027. That would be when the transfer of power would take place if he were to win. And no one in their right mind thinks that Joe Biden can operate and be around for that long. But we're going to dive into the speech when we come back from the break. We want to hear from you. 216-901-0945. You're listening.
Thank you for finally noticing.
Waking up America from its woke slumber. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer. Rob Walgate in the chair this morning for Bob France. Seth on the other side of the glass. And Seth, I'm going to come to you and say, give me your thoughts on last night. Am I missing anything as we start diving into this speech? Because I think it's important that we take a look at the words and see if there were any solutions offered by the president. I know he had some key themes and items. I felt like I was watching an episode of The Simpsons at a time and being screamed at to get off his lawn.
Yeah, most of it was just yelling and lies. I mean, when he talked about the border and he talked about Congress having to act, when we know that Donald Trump, did executive orders to close that border down for the most part, and he got rid of those when he came into office. He doesn't need Congress. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can do it. He didn't, and he lies about it. He lied about Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, yeah. No, he has a constitutional obligation when it comes to the border. A constitutional obligation. What other country in the world, look across the planet wherever you want, what other country in the world has a porous border such as the United States? You're not going to find one. Try and get into any other country, and the thought of what's happening at our southern border, and some have even raised questions of what's happening at the northern border. The only difference is it's a little bit tougher to get into Canada than it is to get into Mexico. And you can get into Mexico if you come up through. I mean, the reason they let you in is they know you're part of a caravan that's passing through. I mean, they know you're not making a stop there. That's part of the reason that they're allowed to keep going. But, let's take a look at some of the words he used in the beginning when he said, alert the American people that this is no ordinary moment either. Not since President Lincoln and the Civil War have freedom and democracy been under assault here at home as they are today. Well, who's, I mean, And I know a few minutes later, he talked about January 6th. He talked about the term, he's calling it the insurrectionist from January 6th, and the terms he is using. Listen, you want to talk about freedoms. There's a lot of people that are still locked away that haven't been able to have due process constitutionally because the way they've been treated by the governor for what they did on that 6th day of January. There's a lot of people that are waiting for their rights to, to be recognized, and they're sitting there without due process.
An insurrection with no guns, no violence. The only gun used was to kill Ashley Babbitt.
Yes.
I don't understand. I don't understand what democracy changed when Donald Trump was in office. Nothing changed. We still had a country that ran when Donald Trump was in office. In fact, it ran a little worse because of what they were doing to him with Russia and everything else. When Donald Trump was in office, the country ran like it always did. And if he's elected again, it will run again.
Yeah. And let's face it, the personalities at the top of the ticket, Donald Trump, Seth, you mentioned his name. I'm not sure you should mention his name. I think the President Biden would refer to him as the former administration.
The predecessor.
My predecessor. The former administration. 13 times he was referenced, but never by name. But I do think, and this is a reality that people are going to have to face, is, and here I'm sure maybe this will get the phones ringing at 216-901-0945, is that everyone has strong feelings one way or another about the two people at the top of this ticket. And I think both of the gentlemen, if they want to win in November, need to find a way to get people that are maybe in agreement with them in policy, but don't like them as a person, to vote for them. Because I'm not sure right now if anyone else was running against, and we're going to get into this later in the show. We're going to talk about 270 to win. We're going to talk about the path, what it takes to get to win this election and what that will look like. But people have strong feelings about the two men that are at the top of the ticket, and they have to find a way to not rally the base. The base is going to vote for Joe Biden or Donald Trump, depending on which camp you're in. They have to find a way to get those people who are just shaking their head in frustration with both of them. I was having a conversation with a gentleman the other day, and we were talking about it. And I said, let me ask this. And this guy's a leader. He's a strong individual. He does a lot of mentoring to people in the business community. I said, let's just play out a hypothetical. What if someone came to you and they had a company and they said, you know what? We need a new CEO. And we're down to two finalists that we want to lead our company for the next 4 years as CEO. One of them's 78 and one of them's 81. We're having a tough time deciding which one we're going to pick. As a business leader, as a mentor, as someone who advises people all the time on doing the right thing, what would your first response be? And he chuckled, and he didn't really respond because he knew what I was getting at, obviously. That hypothetical is our real life scenario. And if you're not talking about the age of someone in the role that they're being asked to do, I think we're ignoring a very evident fact that's right in front of us. Would you agree, Seth?
I would agree, yeah. But at this point, you have two choices. I mean, we don't
you have two.
We don't have another one.
Well,
now it's a matter of good versus evil.
As of right now, you have two choices. I will say again, it is a long time until the convention. It is a long time until we vote in November. And I'll tell you what, I'll just say, so many states have made it so you can vote so far in advance. And this is one of those ones scenarios where, like, you may want to wait until the day of, where I encourage people to vote the day of. I think there's going to be a lot of surprises. Think about this. And I know Bob doesn't dive a lot into sports on this, but this is just for analogy's sake. Well, actually, it's not an analogy. It's a fact. The Cleveland Browns, the NFL, we'll say the NFL will have played 9 games, I believe, in next year's football season before we vote. 9 games deep. So you'll have some idea of the NFL playoff picture before we know who the president of the United States will be. That's how far we have to go in this process. So buckle up. It's just starting. 216-901-0945 is the
number. Enlightening the sleeping masses and stoking the fire of the American dream. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on The Answer.
Welcome back. Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer. Rob Walgate in for Bob Frantz on this Friday morning, this free-for-all Friday. And obviously on this free-for-all, we're talking a lot of State of the Union. And we want to hear from you, 216-901-0945. I guess my question would be in regards to the State of the Union. What caused you to yell at your TV or radio the loudest? What caused what elicited that reaction that you just maybe couldn't control or didn't anticipate coming out that way? What did the president say that made you react in that way? Again, I was watching over his right shoulder. I mentioned earlier in the program that the Democrats have a problem, and it was over his right shoulder, and that being with the vice president, because I do think if it was someone the Democrat Party could agree with, they would just let that person run and be the nominee if they thought that person could win and beat Donald Trump, if they thought that person was a popular candidate. And I watched her a lot, and I also watched her kind of like you're watching. I've always found it odd that the Speaker and the Vice President sit back there. You know, at some point they have to, you know, their face has to itch a little bit. They maybe have to have a booger in their nose. They got to reach for it. Like, I mean, talk about pressure. I mean, you are just under the microscope. And I could tell, I felt like this is going to be so unfair and sound bad, but I felt like there were times the vice president was like that mom that's at the school play for her child, and she's helped him recite the lines, you know. She's helped her kid with the lines, and she's watching her kid on stage, and you can see her mind. She's just locked in, like just trying to will it to him that he doesn't forget or he doesn't slur his words or flub the line. I just felt there was a few times when he got that way that I could see her lips maybe tense up a little bit and be like, oh no. So,
I thought quite the opposite. I thought, she's so stupid. She doesn't know when to stand. She's waiting for everybody else to get up, then she'll get up.
I'll be the first to admit, if I was the Speaker of the House, I don't think they'd let me be a heartbeat away and be the Vice President. The American Policy Roundtable lets me be a heartbeat away, though. I am the Vice President of the American Policy. That's how when people say, what's your job? What's your title? I always say, I'm a heartbeat away. So if Dave Zanotti's listening, I say that with love and admiration and respect, the fact of being a heartbeat away. But that's my role, and that's what I am, is one heartbeat away. So I was watching her just to get her reaction. They wouldn't let me be vice president, but if I was the Speaker of the House, I do think, Seth, that I would have to watch others, because I don't know if my ADHD would allow me to pay attention. Like, I would have to have a pre-copy and write down, okay, I'm standing here, okay, look angry here, shake my head in disgust and disbelief here. I would have to know in advance.
See, the Republicans didn't need any kind of advance notice because they didn't stand for anything. He said literally nothing. They just sat there the entire time.
Did Representative Green stand to yell, or she yell sitting?
I think she was yelling sitting. And the guy even ripped his own Supreme Court. I mean, I realize there's...
Oh, yeah, that's in the notes. We're going to get in...
The Supreme Court.
We're going to get into that. The lecturing. And I think he did know. I think he did know what would be used, because let's face it, people are going to use certain clips today on all the news. We're going to talk about certain things. We're not going to talk about, well, we're going to try and dive into the entire speech. But he knows with video and the attention span of the American people today being about 30 seconds when it comes to social media and other things, he knew what clips would be used and where they will be used. And the one with the Supreme Court was one that was interesting because we haven't seen anyone do that before the way that he did it. So to see him go after the court was interesting. The phone lines are lighting up. We're going to go to line one in Avon. Good morning. Welcome to Always Right Radio.
Good morning. I just turned my sound off. I think. Can you hear me?
We've got you. Good morning. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
We'll go to line two, Charlie.
She can't hear us?
Yeah, I don't think she can hear us.
I'm here.
Okay.
I can hear you.
Okay, Cheryl, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, good morning. I know you're talking about last night. I had to turn it off. I couldn't stand the shouting. And I've never had an opportunity to put in my feelings about this Donald Trump real estate trial in New York. I've been in real estate since 1985 and real estate finance. There was no harm done by the banks. Banks do their due diligence when they're going to lend anybody money. They checked your background. I was part of that in my banking career. They lent him the money. He paid it back. Now the state of New York says they want to devalue his property. If you're going to devalue the property, then they sure should reduce the real estate taxes. And from what I hear about New York, they can't afford to lose money. So nobody's brought this part of it up.
No.
Real estate taxes.
Well, thank you for bringing it up, Cheryl. Appreciate it. And you're right. New York is losing money like crazy because people are leaving the state to go to Florida and Tennessee and Texas and all these states that have zero income tax. So people are leaving there, number one. Number two, the unfortunate part about this, whether you like or dislike Donald Trump, people need to take a look at this from a legal perspective and to think that courts can be used as a political operative to go after those that you don't like. Remember, that can happen on both sides. So if maybe you don't like Donald Trump and you're listening, you're like, well, good, he's getting what he deserved. Hang on. This is about the rule of law and understanding what the rule of law says when it comes to real estate. Just like Cheryl just said, the fact that the banks are on the hook if he doesn't pay it back. The banks have to do their due diligence as well. They're not going to take everything just at face value. They're going to do some work behind the scenes. They have to see what's going on. You know, and what was interesting, what the connection that I got from this as well is, I think it was yesterday, I believe, was it did Jordan Peterson, who testified? Jim Jordan was on the committee asking questions regarding of what happened in Canada when they started seizing people's bank accounts because they were supporting the truckers movement. They were supporting so many other things that were happening there. I thought this could be a similar connection where you've seen the surveillance that's taken place in the United States on keywords. You've seen all these things happen. This could be a connection where they use it financially as a political witch hunt to go after those they don't like just because. I think you're seeing in New York, obviously, people are paying attention to what's happening in Georgia as well. So thank you. Thank you, Cheryl, for the call. We're going to go to line two. We're going to go to Charlie. Good morning, Charlie.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for taking the call. And happy fist bump. This is Bob Francis. It's Fist Bump Friday, so I'm going to.
I'm all about the fist bump. Maybe that way we won't shake hands. I'll double mask. We'll fist bump. Yeah. What's on your mind, Charlie?
Anyway, you know, very divisive, very angry State of the Union.
Yes.
I was looking, you know, the biggest problem with the southern border, well, for me, is that we've got this fentanyl pouring in.
Yeah.
And we've lost like 400,000 young people.
Yes.
And most of them were killed by counterfeit pills. They didn't even know they were taking fentanyl. Well, about a week ago, it came out on the David Webb show that, you know, a guy wrote a book on China, our hidden enemy, that they are not just providing these chemicals for the fentanyl, but they're actually manufacturing it in Mexico. They've sent thousands of Chinese people, and they're in these plants making these phony pills. And it's warfare. And, you know, we need to send our military in because, you know, we've lost four times what we lost in Vietnam in 10 years. We've lost in 4 years. And we've got to stop it. This is, you know, this is warfare. In China, he didn't bring it up at all. You know, he's such friends with China. He didn't bring up that we're losing a generation. This is genocide.
It is. And we talk about the border and we talk about the screaming and yelling from last night. What did you hear President Biden give a solution to the problem at the southern border other than, hey, send this bill to me? No, Mr. President. Tell us how we're going to fix this porous border where fentanyl's coming in, where murderers are coming in, where people who want to do harm to the United States of America are coming in. That's his job as the commander-in-chief, as the leader of the greatest country in the world, to tell us how we are going to stop people from invading. John Stewart just did a bit the other night where he talked about, I mean, this you see in all these, I'm using air quotes. I know you're not, Seth, I know you're not supposed to use air quotes on radio, but I'm the king of air quotes. So all these sanctuary cities that are supposedly sanctuary cities that obviously aren't sanctuary cities anymore because they realized their actions can't match their words. And John Stewart did a parody about that saying, like, you know, you're all talk, you're all tough guys about being sanctuary cities until you realize this is a big problem. Busloads are coming. And there's nothing we can do about it. We should have. This is the problem with this administration. Instead of being proactive, they're reactive. Take a look at the discussion. Listen, we could do. There will be entire college semesters taught on Ukraine and Russia and everything that's happening there. We will study that historically forever. Well, one thing's for sure. There's a couple things for sure. I shouldn't say one thing. A couple things. One is Putin didn't dare do that when Donald Trump was in office, because he knows Donald Trump's a wild card and he doesn't know how he's going to react. Correct? We all know
correct.
That. Two, we reacted. The threat was imminent. If we're going to spend gazillions of dollars giving to Ukraine, why didn't we spend it in advance of what was about to happen? Why did we wait for someone to get punched in the face? If someone says, I'm going to punch you in the face, do you stand there and wait until that person gets punched in the face? Or do you try and get everyone to their senses, or at least give the person that's going to get punched the ability to defend themselves properly when you know there's someone bigger, badder, and with more resources? That's the issue. The president doesn't have a plan. He's a reactionary president. And I think you're seeing that in full force, and it's unfortunate. So, Charlie, appreciate you. Fist bump back to you. Enjoy
Thank
your
you.
Weekend,
Have
my
great,
friend. Thanks for the call.
Great weekend, buddy. Great.
Steve in Collinwood, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, about the president's speech and what he plans to do in Gaza, the humanitarian aid.
Yeah.
I really oppose that, because all it will do will strengthen Hamas and extend the time of the fighting. Because there is no famine in Gaza. There's plenty of food. It's just controlled by the terrorists. And that's one way that they raise funds. So by creating this, like dropping, airdropping pizzas, like they were doing, and it's the same thing that's happening in Yemen. They put the Houthis back on the special terror wanted list, which means that humanitarian aid can, still go in. And they create the famine. The terrorists create the famine among the population in order to get the humanitarian aid, and then they can hire more terrorists because they pay them in food. So I oppose that. I don't think that the United States should be doing that until, not that I want people to starve, but like I said, there's plenty of food there. I think that the United States should support Israel and going into and finally taking the last stronghold in Rafah, or Rafah, as it's called, because that is the last lifeline of the terrorists. That's where they also sneak in food. They can sneak in foreign fighters, and they can sneak in war material through Egypt. So that's just okay.
I appreciate your thoughts, Steve. And here's the thing I struggle with is in war, you can't be nice, correct? It's hard to be kind in war. It just is. I mean, Hamas wasn't kind on October 7th. It's hard to be kind, and I think our president wants to try and be kind to make everyone happy. He talks about a two-state solution, and one of the people involved that would be one of the two states doesn't think that the other state should exist and calls for the annihilation of them and they should be wiped off the face of the earth. It's kind of hard to do humanitarian efforts like that when those things are happening.
I don't think you're right there. I don't think he wants to be kind at all.
Who?
I think Biden. I think he wants to win votes. And so he's trying to straddle that line of Israel is our ally, and these people are really ticked off right now at me because I'm not doing what they want me to do.
Understood. I mean kind in the humanitarian aid. I mean, it's going to be
bad at all.
It's going to be evil. War is tough on everyone, and it's not, obviously, it's... I was going to say it's not fun. Oh, way to have a grasp of the obvious wrong. It's just brutal. I mean, it's life and death, and you know, we just haven't experienced that here at home, other than 9/11, Pearl Harbor, certain instances, and these folks are living it every day. And when he talks about the solution that he thinks would be a solution, that's just not realistic. It's not realistic. And again, the other question as we go to break, and we want to hear from you some more, 216-901-0945. We look forward to your calls. The other thing, we talked about Putin and what he did in Ukraine. Would he have done that if Donald Trump was in the White House? Hamas, would they have done what they did had Donald Trump still been in the White House? You're listening.
Paid for by Ohio House Republican Alliance.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on The Answer.
Welcome back. 9:54 on a Friday morning. Always Right Radio. Rob Walgate in for Bob Frantz from the American Policy Roundtable. And March 19th, primary, fast approaching in Ohio. You have the ability, if you are a registered Republican or Democrat, to vote on the nominees from your party on who you want to see in the general election. Full disclosure, I am coming at this from a nonpartisan, independent perspective. Obviously, we take positions on policy issues at the American Policy Roundtable. We do not endorse candidates. I personally am a registered independent, so when it comes time for me to vote on March 19th, I don't vote in party primaries. I will be voting because we have issues on my local ballot that deal with tax issues and levies and other things that are nonpartisan that I will be able to participate in. But I do not pull a partisan ticket ballot and take part in that. If you do, I encourage you to visit ivoters.com. ivoters.com. Take a look at that. That's a project of the American Policy Roundtable. You enter your address, your zip code, up pops who's running in your area from State House, United States Senate. It provides you with a resource. We don't tell you who to vote for or how to vote. We just provide you with the resource to do research on your own. So that's one thing about us as Ohioans, as Americans, is we need to dig a little deeper sometimes. And that's why I appreciate Bob's audience, because I know they're educated. I know they work hard. I knew they do their research. They do their homework before they vote. We need to get past the 15, 30-second commercials and do a little work. You know, I always reference a handful of years ago, I was sitting around, we're out late one night around a fire, and people were talking and they were discussing. I don't participate in fantasy football, but they were talking fantasy football. And every person around the fire that was there that night admitted the fact they spend far more time researching the fantasy football team every year than they do the people that are running an office for office in their area. And we kind of had a chuckle about it. But then, you know, if you don't laugh, you're going to cry, right? But to think about it, I know there may be things that are taking place, maybe not in the March primary, but maybe in November in regards to school board or township trustee or county commissioner or races you may not pay attention to. Let me encourage you to pay attention to those races. Let me encourage you and let you know that the people running for those offices are going to make decisions that impact you each and every day. I was talking to someone not long ago that actually is a state lawmaker, and they talked about when they first ran for office for state lawmaker. They're a member of the General Assembly, but they would go to all the township meetings and sit, and there wouldn't be that many people there, but they wanted to meet the trustees. They wanted to get their face out there, and they would go to county commissioner meetings. They would go to all these places, city council, and there wouldn't be that many people there. But yet, the people that are in charge and authority sitting up front, the local school board meetings, those people are making decisions worth $5, $10, $20, $30 million of your taxpayer money, of your hard-earned money. They're making those decisions. And there's some great people that serve in those offices. I'm not here to bash every politician and say, no, there's some people with some giant hearts that are doing it for the right reasons. But it's up to us in this republic in which we live to hold those people accountable and understand what's happening, what's going on, and what's taking place. And it's just as important that we talk to our neighbors about it. And listen, when we talk to our neighbors can see through the talking points that we get from television or social media or the 15-second sound bites. They respect us when we've done our homework and can dive deep and maybe answer a question or two. I don't need reiterated to me the talking points that were given on cable news last night, regardless of which cable news channel you are watching, because I think sometimes we need to realize that some of the folks on there aren't as much educators as they are entertainers, and they need to entertain you to make sure that you stay there. So that's just a little disclaimer as we head to the top of the hour, that it's up to us to do the research, to do the work. And many of the decisions in these districts will be made. And maybe it's a very safe R district or a very safe D district. So the primary is what matters. The primary on March 19th is what is going to send that person to the Ohio Senate or the Ohio House, because maybe they don't have a formidable opponent in November. So I encourage you, do your homework before you vote on March 19th. iVoters.com. It will be a resource. Share with your friends. We don't tell you who to vote for or how to vote. We just want to have the electorate be an educated electorate. When we come back, we'll be diving into more of the State of the Union.
Years, and he is for lower taxes or no taxes, and much smaller government, and it should be a great meeting. It's at the Thirsty Cowboy, 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, and that's in Medina on Route 18. And I'm driving right now. I don't have the address with me, but it's right behind the Dunkin' Donuts
east. Yep, Route 18 exit. Off of I-71, just east of the exit. So head east on 18, and it should be right there on your left.
Correct. And the other thing I just wanted to mention, I'm the for the Republican Party in Medina County, for the school board, I'm the chairperson for that. And we have to start recruiting and getting people to go to school board meetings now. We have to find candidates now. We have to find out who the good members are. And this isn't just for Medina County. This is for any county, anywhere. We have to find out who the good members are and who the bad are and get good candidates to run against them. So anybody that's in Medina County, they can get in touch with me, because we're looking for both candidates and people willing to go to the meetings. So I thank you very much for that.
Bruce, you're 100% correct. You have to be proactive, especially when it comes to school board and what's taking place in our schools across the country. We must be proactive. We have to pull that power down. And what I mean by down is get it to that local level. Sometimes we default and defer to everything that happens in Columbus. Listen, I almost went on a tangent. I almost went on a rant. I'm going to go on one a little bit from something that the GOP did in Columbus over this past General Assembly. During this past term, I'm gonna dive into it here in a bit. But first, we're gonna go to Sally and Berea before I start on that long rant. Good morning, Sally.
Morning, Rob. Basically, the speech was everything we expected. He glossed over the important things like the border and crime and inflation, and just concentrated on just the health issues, play up on abortion, and a lot of lies about the economy. And I don't like it when there's outbursts. I think it's disrespectful. There's a time to respond after the speech. And I think that in our divisive society right now, we need to be civil and courteous, even if we don't agree. But I basically didn't have any surprises. It was everything I thought it would be.
Sally, I think you're right in the sense that we do have to be courteous, even if we disagree with one another. I always use this story to try and get people to understand that screaming at people and calling them idiots and names is not going to help them change their vote and get them to support the cause that you think they should support, even if it makes sense to them and even if it makes economic sense to them. I use the example, I say, if you shopped at Giant Eagle and your neighbor shopped at Heinen's, and your neighbor could show you a way to save $100 by shopping at Heinen's where they shopped, but they came over to your house to tell you, and when they did, they were like, you're such an idiot. You're so stupid. Can't you do basic math? Don't you understand how much money you're wasting? You're so dumb. You need to shop at Heinen's, and this is why. And they list out all these reasons, but they called you all these names in the process. Even though it's going to save you $100, most people probably aren't going to switch grocery stores because of what's associated now with it. And I think that's how we think people are going to change their mind politically. Instead of presenting facts in a reasoned, disciplined, intelligent manner, we think lecturing and screaming is going to get them to change. And I think if both men at the top of the ticket and the parties around them don't understand that, over the next 8 months, it's going to be an interesting campaign to see what happens. Thank you, Sally.
Look, I love Sally. She calls all the time. I appreciate every opinion that she has, but I'm going to disagree a little bit. And I understand the courteous thing. I understand we need to. Last night was a spectacle that needs to be acknowledged as part of our country's history and everything else. But I'm screaming at my TV as it's going on.
Yes.
Millions of Americans, if there are millions watching, are screaming at their TV while it's going on. Nobody is watching the rebuttal afterwards. I mean, nobody really cares. Half the country is watching this junk to begin with.
Right.
So nobody's really watching that.
Right.
There comes a time where how many lies are we going to let this guy get away with on national television while he's trying to win the election, not telling the truth about what's actually going on? I appreciate somebody calling him out every now and then.
Oh, I want him to be called out. Don't mishear me. I want him called out. The people that are screaming like you, like me, like many of the listeners, the people that are screaming at the radio and their television, everybody knows how they're going to vote.
I understand.
He doesn't need those people to vote for him. Both men at the top of the ticket need to get new people to vote for them to win.
The people watching do need to hear, the people that are going to vote for Biden need to hear, is the damn truth.
I agree.
And they're not hearing it on that hour-long debacle that was last night. And so when are you going to hear it? This guy doesn't answer questions. Half the people who are voting for Biden aren't going to listen to what Trump has to say. Somebody has to call this guy out and make him tell the truth.
I totally agree with you. What I'm saying in the manner that he's called out or the manner that the discussion is had, if you're calling people names, you lose them from the beginning. You lose their attention.
I agree.
It's all about communication. And the best communicators, you know, I'll compare it. Many of the listeners know I refereed college basketball for 17, 18 years. And you only last that long, not because you're the best play caller and you get all the plays right. It's because people trust you and you can communicate with the coaches. You can communicate with the administration. You can, when you're being screamed at, you can de-escalate the situation. And I think many times people, instead of when fires are going on, it's okay to say we have a fire and here's how it started. Let's put it out. But I think in today's political world, people don't look for water to put it out. They look for gas to pour on it, to blow it up, because then that brings them more money, attention, and the ability to do something. Look no further than what's taking place in Ohio in the race for the United States Senate. Listen, these commercials, you hear them all the time. They're going after each other. They're going after each other. And then what happens when one of the three wins? Does that mean everyone's going to put their arm around each other and say, oh, it's okay. It's okay when it's all said and done. No, we've allowed people to say whatever they want. I referenced it earlier in the show. Kamala Harris called Joe Biden, in essence, a racist because of how he voted in the United States Senate years ago. But yet all apparently was okay, and she really didn't mean it because that was what happens in debates, which it still makes me scratch my head. I guess you're allowed to say whatever you want when it comes to debates. But that also gets me to the point, and we'll get into the rebuttal from Senator Britt. Is that who gave the rebuttal?
From Alabama.
Yeah, Senator Britt from Alabama. We'll get into the rebuttal and what was talked about it during that. But with the presidency comes a responsibility, I believe, Seth, to tell the truth. And that responsibility is what's not being upheld during this entire process. It's partial facts. And it's playing on the emotions of Americans. The emotions, the key talking points of what they want to say. 216-901-0945. We want to hear more from you. Seth referenced yelling at the radio, yelling at the TV. What caused you last night to get your emotions going?
Paid for by Ohio House Republican Alliance.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
Back at it on a Friday morning, Rob Walgate in for Bob France on Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer. Phone lines, what did we say last segment, Seth, to get these phone lines lit up? But we appreciate it, 216-901-0945. Hallie in Cleveland, line one. Good morning, Hallie. How are you?
Hi. I was calling in for the State of the Union. Everybody agrees that was an angry, hostile speech. There's nothing uplifting in that speech. And I also noticed, speaking of screaming at your television, he was talking in his speech about how he lowered prices for prescriptions. And I just thought, well, you just so originally Trump had actually done that. And it was for the, I think it was called Most Favored Nations. So Trump had actually gotten the prices of prescriptions down. And then when Biden first got in office, he took it out and then came back and then took credit for it and acted like it was all his idea.
Wow.
During that speech, he said a lot of crazy things. I thought you were talking about the rebuttal. I don't know who that lady is. Know anything about her.
Senator Britt.
It happened to be the most cringiest thing I could have ever watched. I felt like I'm watching an infomercial or something. I don't know. It was very strange. I thought they should have done it live. They should have talked about Trump's accomplishments in his first term.
What do you mean by, let me ask you this, what do you mean by do it live?
Her rebuttal, it looked pre-taped. It didn't look like it was a live thing after the speech. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was live. It was in, I believe it was in her house. I think, and again, I think when it comes to that, the person that follows the president is always going to have a tough job. I think what they were going for in that look is to speak to a specific demographic. They know that they don't need to get the base fired up. What they know is they're going to need moms and women in suburbs all across this country, and maybe Senator Britt didn't resonate with them, but they're going to need those folks to show up at the polls in November to get Donald Trump to 270 electoral college votes. I think that was the goal. I think the folks that are being the loudest this morning regarding the rebuttal are the Trump supporters that would have preferred just to see Donald Trump Jr. go out there and yell for a little bit about
well,
it.
I just feel like she missed the mark. She could have been talking about, like, you know, for the illegals coming through, right? she could have addressed, like, are you guys okay as a nation with these people?
Well, I did. And again, I'm not here to defend Senator Britt all the time, but I believe she talked about Lake and Riley. I believe she talked about the illegals that are coming through.
I'm talking in a sense of, like, New York out here, like, you know, we're going to give you $10,000. Chicago's like, we're going to give you $9,000. And I guess in California, they're going to make it so that they can get interest-free loans to buy a house. The illegals can. So I would start addressing things like that. The lawlessness, you know, police are sort of, they have their hands tied and they can't do a lot of things because they're not allowed, you know, in New York.
All great points, Holly. We appreciate the call. All great points. And I think you've seen Mayor Adams and others in those cities, you know, speaking in New York City, Mayor Adams talk about how they can't afford it any longer. They can't take the busloads that are coming from Texas. So I agree. The southern border is a porous border that needs addressed yesterday. The problem I think a lot of people have is the fact that it was being addressed 5, 6, 7 years ago, and now it needs readdressed because the last 3 years have been a debacle. Let's go to line two, Rick in Elyria. We have a couple minutes before the bottom of the hour. Good morning, Rick.
Yeah, you know, somebody brought up the shouting out against what Biden said, and I don't have a problem with that as long as it's done somewhat respectively, because, okay, you don't want that, but what about the other side? They do all the clapping and standing up. Isn't that, so they're showing approval. So you're denying one side from being able in the chamber there to express their view, but you're not preventing the other side from expressing their view.
No,
that number one. But one thing, I haven't heard anybody mention about Johnson not standing up, but maybe three times in all the speech.
Yeah, and that's typical for the opposite party not to stand and address many of what the president says, especially in this election year. That was, as someone just texted to me to point out, that was more of a campaign speech or a political speech. That was not a State of the Union address at all. As for people yelling out, I know the one gentleman that was escorted out, I believe, was a Gold Star father. His son was killed during active duty. And you know what? I think back about the time when I'm going to get her name wrong. Cindy Sheehan, or Cindy, was that her name? The mom who lost her child, who became an advocate. And, you know, I feel like if you lose a child, you have that right and the ability, and we're going to let you rant and say what you want to say. And God bless you. And our thoughts and prayers are with you, because I can't imagine what those families have to go through. So I think a lot of grace has to be offered there. And I think that's a very, we're asking young men and women to sign up to defend this country. And the problem is, in some instances, the commander in chief, in my opinion, is not putting them in positions to succeed. And that's
on iTunes and the Google Play Store, keeping you informed among the uninformed. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
Welcome back. Rob Walgate with you on this Friday morning. Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer. State of the Union last night. Felt more like a campaign speech or maybe reactions during a debate. Speaking of debate, it doesn't sound like Joe Biden is going to debate Donald Trump. You know, I have multiple thoughts on that. You know, Trump is going after Biden, saying, well, you need to debate. Yet Donald Trump didn't show up to any of the Republican primary debates because he knew he had nothing to gain. The only thing he could do is go down if he participated in that debate. So his advisors told him not to do it. Same thing that Joe Biden's advisors are telling him. And then Trump's getting mad at Joe Biden for not willing to participate in the debate. So I don't know. I mean, why was it okay for Donald Trump to say no, but now it's not okay for Joe Biden to say no? I think those are things that questions that people are asking. 216-901-0945. If you want to weigh in this morning on the State of the Union from last night. TJ in Cleveland. Let's go to TJ in Cleveland. Line one. TJ. Good morning, TJ.
Yeah, hi, Rob. You know, I got to agree with Seth totally on this one about being kinder and more civil. You know, you're battling a soldier in war, and that soldier wants to destroy your country, destroy your republic. You're not going to be kinder and civil. You're going to do everything you can to defeat them. Now, we're in a war right now for our republic.
I think you – may I interject there 1 second, TJ? I think you missed – but if you want to win ultimately, don't you need others to vote for you in November? You're not going to shoot and kill them. You need them to show up at the ballot box and vote for you. So I get what you're saying. I get – I'm not saying don't be honest. I'm saying do you want to win in November or do you want to be right?
And this is the point I'm called to make. The problem here is not with Trump. The problem is the never-Trumpers in our own party. Okay, you've got people out there. We're facing a left that will destroy this republic if we lose this election. And they're sitting back there going, well, I don't like the way he tweets. He's not kind enough. He's not gentle enough. In the meantime, they're handing the victory over to the left, and they're handing the power over to the left to complete the job of destroying this republic. Like it or not, Trump is the leader of this party. And if we're going to win, it's going to take everyone, even people that don't like him, to come together and support him and finally end this threat from the left. And if they're going to take this thing, you know, well, I don't care the personality, we're going to lose. And that's why we lost in 2022, you know, and a lot of the congressional and the Senate things, because we have more infighting in our own party. We don't stick together.
TJ, his track record on 50-50 races is not good in congressional and Senate races. I know he touts it as being high on races he's endorsed and candidates he's endorsed, but when you break it down on the 50-50 races, he does not have a good record. Look to our east in Pennsylvania. What was done with McCormick and Dr. Oz last time and that debacle in the Republican primary? I agree with you. The Republican Party is fractured, and I think political parties have become the demise of this country because they've put party above neighbor, and that concerns me. I think there's a lot of work to do as we head towards November.
Well, I agree with you, and both sides do take party over country. I mean, there's no question about that. But I still say that the bottom line is they must be defeated here in November. They must be, because I don't think we're going to get another chance. If they take more power and keep power, I think our republic, as you and I know it, is gone, and we can just see what's happened in the last three and a half years. So if we don't come together, we have no chance of winning.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Can I give you the numbers that concern me from the Super Tuesday primary?
Sure.
That I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe I'm not paying attention. Maybe people are talking about it. The numbers that I think should concern Republicans and people that want to see Joe Biden removed from office, because I don't think there's people out there that are in the middle that are defending Joe Biden's record. Let's face it, just look at the numbers. There are people out there in the middle that just aren't sure they want to go back to Donald Trump. Would you say that's fair, TJ? People in the middle aren't defending Joe Biden. They're just not. There's no, what are you going to defend? You know, the radical left and the agenda he put forth last night is a radical leftist agenda. There's no doubt about that. But the numbers from Super Tuesday that concerned me the most when I looked at them was the state of North Carolina primary. Presidential primary, Donald Trump got roughly 800,000 votes. Nikki Haley got roughly a quarter of a million, 250,000 votes. So she almost got over 23% of the vote. So if Donald Trump, I believe, won North Carolina, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, I want to say between 70 and 85,000 votes he won North Carolina by in 2020. Nikki Haley has 250,000 votes. I'm not convinced all 250,000 of those Nikki Haley votes are going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm not saying that's right, wrong. I'm just making an observation, and that should concern everybody that wants to see Joe Biden out of office.
And I agree with you, but the only thing, we can't compare apples to oranges here either. Now, states that have open primaries.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know if North Carolina is open primary or not. but a lot of these states would open primaries. I have no doubts many Democrats are crossing the line to vote for Nikki Haley to screw Trump. So you got to look at these figures, and you got to look at all the figures. And I know that's going to happen here in Ohio. You're going to have a ton of Democrats crossing the line in an open primary to figure maybe they can screw Trump or screw Marino, you know, in a Senate campaign, and they're going to change the figures.
There's no way they could screw Donald Trump in an open primary.
Not anymore,
In Ohio. I mean, that wouldn't be realistic. But,
no, but they can make a statement. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, he didn't get that. Well, Look at how many votes, you know.
And again, I'm just going to say, we know both sides do that. I mean, who was the originator of that?
I think it was the Democrats.
I thought it was Rush Limbaugh with Operation Chaos.
That he did that after the Democrats did that to Bush the first time.
But it didn't work when the Democrats did it.
I had two brothers at the time, and this was before, the one with Rush Limbaugh, both Democrats, and they were laughing and saying, hey, we crossed the line in a primary to screw,
up.
Rush Limbaugh was just saying, return the favor.
But here's the other thing, too, is I think the party should be aware of, and I think this is where they don't want to isolate themselves. Now, there may be people that want to cross over that say, the heck with it. I've had it with Joe Biden. I've had it with the Democrat Party. They're so far off the reservation left that I can't see them anymore. So I want to be a Republican in the primary. And if you don't allow people to vote in the Republican primary, the unintended consequence of that may be that people say, well, wait a minute. Now they don't want me. I just wanted to come over and vote today. I didn't do it 30 days. I think long term, everything needs to be looked at when it comes to that. I think there's enough primary races in the state of Ohio when it comes to state Senate and congressional for the Democrats in the primary that I would be shocked if any type of percentage came over and did anything.
Well, we're going to see here in this election here kind of locally with O'Malley. Now, if O'Malley loses as prosecutor, we're screwed. This guy Hahn or Ott gets in there, I think he's a Soros person.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm afraid of. If enough Democrats in the Cuyahoga County go to the polls, cross the line, just to kind of screw with, say, they want Dolan.
Right.
You know, instead of Marino.
Yep.
Now, I know one thing. Ott's supporters, and I'm starting to see more and more of his signs around here, they are zealots. And they are going to the polls to vote for their man. And if too many Democrats cross the line, they just might hand this prosecutor's job over to this Soros prosecutor. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen. But if it does, I think that kind of makes my point how dangerous this crossing the line can be for our party and their party. Because if O'Malley loses, we're all going to be screwed, Democrat and Republican. In the county.
Yeah, and I think, TJ, you make a great point, as always. Thanks for the call. You make a great point. The local races matter. Local races matter. Know what's on your ballot. Understand what's on your ballot. BJ in North Olmsted. BJ, good morning. Thank you for the phone call.
Good morning. In my 93rd year, I've seen a lot of different things from the 1930s. Right after the Great Depression and the changes. And to me, the truth of the matter is, I often wonder what would happen if we put people in office like they do for jury duty instead of having elections. Would it be any different? Humanity has a very strange way of behaving politically any longer. We live in a bizarre world right now because of communications we have that we didn't have 100 years ago, and people that move from one country to another, from one neighborhood to another. And here we are on this little sphere called planet Earth, and we're still debating what's the best way to go with our little planet politically and all these other things. And I wish people would just start to enjoy the gift of life more and wake up to the reality of politics is not what rules the world. What rules the world is the way people want to live. And if you're not living the way you want to live, you're not participating. And people have to, well, young people particularly have to wake up. We've had enough of wars. We've had enough of politics and all this hate. One party hates the other party. One party finds fault with the other party. Instead of talking, they keep talking about getting along. What they do is antagonize each other. We don't need Democrats and Republicans. What we need is cooperation between the parties for the public's best interests. Wake up, America. Stop this political crap and these political wars. We live on a beautiful planet. Enjoy the gift of life.
BJ.
Wake up.
BJ, thank you
for your time.
Well, thank you for preaching on a Friday morning. It's appreciated. You're talking about the gift of life. Thank you for preaching on a Friday morning, because we all need to hear that. We all need to take advantage of the time we have here. And the one of the things that jumped out at me from last night's speech was the fact of we had one side of the chamber stand up and applaud when the president talked about promoting the destruction of human life and gave instances on people leaving states. The problem is he was not honest. He was not honest and transparent when it came to giving the example of the woman that left Texas to go to Oklahoma to have a late term abortion. He was not honest in divulging and giving that story. The stories they give when it comes to the issue of life is to play on your emotions and give a sob story. No different than what happened in Ohio with issue and one and the Kyle and Beth story that you saw in every commercial. And the problem was it was not fact-checked by the media the same way that a conservative would be fact-checked when they cross the street in a major city on whether they jaywalked or not. That's the issue and the problem. But we appreciate that message of life. We're going to go to line two. We're going to go to Gary in Houston. Good morning, Gary. Thank you for the phone call.
Thank you. Glad to have a chance to listen in. What made me want to jump up and shout was Biden saying how much he had reduced the deficit. And it's like, I'm in disbelief. And I got a real short soapbox because I'm at work. I'll let you talk about it and listen on the radio. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for the call. Oh, well, let's dive into that. We only have another hour in the show, so we probably can't break down the deficit, the debt, the difference, all that fun stuff, although it's not too complicated. But I agree with you, Gary. I agree. That made me almost wreck the car, because I believe I was driving when that happened, and he talked about that. With all apologies to drunken sailors, because they have to stop when they run out of money. You know, they get a bad rap, but they eventually stop spending because they run out of money. Biden in this administration spends worse than drunken sailors because they never stop. To say that he's cutting the deficit by a couple $1 trillion, in essence, they propose one thing and, oh, that's too much. So they pull it back and he wants to take credit for it. Meanwhile, the national debt is climbing faster than it ever has. Ever has. When you drive around the city of Cleveland there, as you approach from the south side on I-77, you see that billboard that's up, the national debt billboard, where it talks about how much each American owes. And I believe we're over $100,000 per American. That's each American what you owe. And that would just take care of it. And that's every man, woman, and child, regardless of age, regardless where you, if we did the math, it would be $100,000. Then he's going to attack the corporations and rich people based on the tax code. Oh, I have a question. I have a question. Wasn't Joe Biden in the United States Senate for over six terms? Didn't he help write the tax code? Couldn't he have done? He acts like he just got to Washington. He's the outsider. Now I'm going to do something. Bro, you've been there their whole life. You've been there a long time. What have you done until now to fix this problem? These corporations that he talks about, these wealthy people that he talks about, let's do the number. There's over 50% of the United States right now that doesn't pay federal income tax because of subsidies and what they get back. What's his solution? What's his answer? He's going to eliminate your junk fees on resort. Bro, that's not the federal government's job. Let that all work itself out and take care of itself. He's talking about the credit card processing. Here's the problem. This is a reality. This reality is going to hurt. I'm looking in the mirror as much as I'm looking through the window. Need to talk to myself. Americans have gotten to the habit that the federal government has. We spend more than we make. We're in too much debt as a country, as individuals as well. We're following that lead. That's a mistake that we've made. We all need a little more Dave Ramsey in our lives. We do. But the federal government...
America again.
Giving you reason in the age of unreason. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz and The Answer.
Welcome back. Wrapping up hour number two, Always Right Radio, AM 1420, The Answer. Rob Walgate in this morning for Bob Frantz. And I realize I just got a text message letting me know I can't call the President of the United States bro. So, President Biden, I apologize. I will not refer to you as bro anymore, or any longer, I should say. I get a little fired up when I think about this stuff. You know, he's bashing all these wealthy people. Take a look at the numbers. And again, this is America. And I think that's the one thing we can agree about. Donald Trump, he wanted everyone to have money. He wanted everyone to succeed. I don't think he was against anyone in being successful. But Biden continually bashes all these wealthy people that when you look at the numbers, they should pay their taxes. They should. But when you look at the numbers, I'm thankful for them because they pay an awful high percentage of taxes, an awful lot of money. Those corporations he talks about that are running from their tax bill, what has he done to prohibit that and stop that? And the other question becomes is, I would like to see through the years, in his 50 years in office, we don't even have to bring up Hunter's name and look at Hunter's numbers, but let's look at the amount of campaign funds that Joe Biden has received from these rich people and corporations that he continually bashes. That's what I would like to take a look at. We are going to go back to the phone lines, 216-901-0945. If you want to weigh in, we are going to go to Norm. Good morning, Norm. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, Rob, you're very polite, you're very smooth, and you're very calm. I want to give you congratulations. That set aside, because I know I'm up against the clock, I'm going to ask you a couple, three questions, and then you can respond after I hang up. The spectacle last night, the first question that I got to ask as a veteran, what kind of juice did they put in what I call the skunk, Biden,
yep,
to pop him up for 67 minutes? Now, the over and under for the gambling guys out there, the prop bets were unbelievable on everything this treasonous SOB presented last night. Now, I'm going to be very calm because that knows me. I promise I'm not going to swear. What you fail to understand, all of you, these conservative talk shows, you don't need to dwell on and on about what the agenda is. All you got to do is go read the Communist Manifesto. Everything's been done except one, the Second Amendment. That's a fact. Cannot dispute that. Back in the day when I and Triv was on the air together, Triv was the biggest skeptic about the Communist Manifesto. And, you know, and I got seven grandkids, so I have a real personal vengeance of what's coming on in my country. And as a veteran, when I go to the VA and I see illegals in front of me, you don't want to be in my face. You don't want to be near me. Number, the last number, because I'm wound up. The financial henchmen, they're going to remove Biden. How can I say that? Watch the bond market. Watch the gold market. Okay, because they do not want World War III. The financial ministers, the central planners, and the central bankers. They do not want World War III. Now, do you have any questions for me?
Well, first, we are up against it, but I want to respond to all these. And I, first off, thank you for your service. As always, you know we appreciate that and very thankful for that. The fact that we live in the greatest country in the world and people volunteer to go defend us is just something that will never be lost on me. So
let me tell you one other thing. There's a thing called the warriorspoet.org. Veterans, and TJ, I spoke to TJ about this. The veterans that are sitting on the sidelines, we are now organized. I was told not to say that, but I just did. We're organizing. What's going on in Rio Grande in Arizona is happening right here in Cleveland, Ohio, with the people from New York City being bussed into Cleveland. You know they got a welcome center in my old neighborhood in Old Brooklyn.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I want to get to your questions.
Listen, I'm going to hang up. You have a good day. Take care. God bless the country.
Thanks, Norm. Well, I'm going to get to his questions. Medication, he talked about the juice. There's no doubt. Joe Biden's 81 years old. He was on something. I don't know if it was B12. I don't know what they did to him. I don't know if it was extra pudding or ice cream. I don't know. He was on something. There's no doubt about that. The man's had some surgery. He has some. They got to make him look the part. He's 81 years old. He's frail. He has the talent. This stuff's too easy to say. I don't want to make fun of him for falling up the stairs and not down the stairs. But, I mean, it is. We see it happen. He was on something. I think they made him stay up late all week to practice the speech. They wanted him to be comfortable with that time to stay up that late and be able to do that. Norm referenced the VA. I know Joe Biden referenced the VA last night. That infuriated me. I'm not a veteran. I'm thankful, you know, for all those that serve, appreciate it. We need to pay our respect. The veterans in this country need treated the best. And when when Joe Biden referenced the VA and the medical treatment that our veterans have gotten, that was my point where I started to yell a little bit because of what Norm just said and the fact that there are others in line in front of him that didn't serve at the VA. If we want to take a look at the model of what should be the standard of the best healthcare, it should be those that have sacrificed to protect the rest of us. They should get the best. The front lines, they've signed up to do their duty. They should be the ones that are treated the best. And the government's been in charge of the VA since it originated. And they've dropped the ball many times, many, many times. On our veterans, and that's sad. So I don't want that to be the comparison for the rest of our healthcare because the VA, the veterans deserve and need better. And the last one, he talked about the banks, the Federal Reserve. We all know money makes the world go round, and the banks are going to make theirs. And I do want to get into a second.
For me at Pragertopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to Pragertopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
This hour of Always Right Radio is brought to you by The Floor King and KeepingMedicareSimple.com.
You and I know and do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life is worth dying for, when did this begin? Just in the face of this enemy? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the Pharaohs? Should Christ have refused the cross? Should the patriots at Concord Bridge have thrown down their guns and refused to fire the shot heard round the world? The martyrs of history were not fools. And our honored dead, who gave their lives to stop the advance of the Nazis, didn't die in vain. Where then is the road to peace? Well, it's a simple answer after all. You and I have the courage to say to our enemies, there is a price we will not pay. There is a point beyond which they must not advance.
Is Always Right Radio with Bob France on AM 1420 The Answer.
Last hour, Always Right Radio, AM 1420 The Answer. Rob Walgate in this morning for Bob France. Had a pretty action-packed first 2 hours, Seth.
I don't know. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff.
We'll take it. Responses to State of the Union, if you want to weigh in, 216-901-0945. We were talking with Norm right before the top of the hour, and wanted to hit on a couple more things that he brought up. One, Norm, I appreciate you saying I was calm. I sure hope my wife was listening. Oh, I hope she was listening. And she saw. Look at me. She heard.
That's good.
She saw that.
I appreciate him not swearing.
Yeah. Thank you for not swearing. Seth may have had his finger on the dump button the entire time, but calling me calm. I sound like I'm 81 saying I hope my wife was watching. The other thing is Second Amendment. It's no secret that the left would love to do away with guns and firearms. It still amazes me that in this country, that you can drive from state to state and get in very serious trouble if you stay in certain states overnight in a hotel or a VRBO or anything and you have a firearm on you in that state and you don't have permission to have a firearm on you in that state. It still boggles my mind. So they have done their best from a state level to dismantle the Second Amendment. But the thought of them doing it from a federal level, I think they will continue to try to attack it. However, I mean, what's the estimation? 400 million guns in the United States? I think that's the estimate. So the thought of them getting rid of, I mean, 400 million guns is just, it's not realistic. It's not going to happen. Now, they may try, and they're going to continue to try, but, and it's always ironic that the people that try the hardest to get rid of the guns are the people that have the guns used next to them for security. People are carrying them for security. So they're going to continue to try to take away firearms. And I think you'll see that's a battle. And the thing about it is both sides do their best to, exploit the issue and raise money off the issue and go after people on the issue. You know, let's rewind the tape a little bit. I know the left continually talks about it, but if the left wanted to do something about it, they could have done something about it or tried to do something about it. When Barack Obama was president, remember, they had 60 votes in the Senate. They had the House and they had the White House. Why didn't they try and do something about it? From a federal perspective, when it comes to firearms, they didn't do anything about it because then they would have had to run on that. And all the Democrats in the United States Senate are willing to talk a tough game. But when it comes down to actually having to make a decision and a vote and run behind that vote or run behind that decision, they're not willing to do it. When they had the 60 votes in the Senate, they could have done anything they wanted. They barely got health care done. Barely. And when they got it done, Massachusetts, then in the next opportunity they had, elected a Republican senator. That's what happened. That was the blowback from them doing health care, is Massachusetts electing a Republican senator. So all these people that say, if we could just get to 60 votes for either side, I don't think 60 votes is going to get it done. Because then they would have to run on that record. That's why, hold on to your seats. Hold on. This may be the moment in the show where you get mad at me, or maybe you got mad at me when you heard my name first thing out of the chute this morning. But that's why I'm no fan. In the American Policy Roundtable, we're no fans of the filibuster in the United States Senate where you need 60 votes to advance the conversation. The cloture rule. If you have the Senate, you have the House, and you have the White House, why can't you get done what you want to get done? Now, again, I know there's people screaming at the radio. I'm sure my mother disagrees with me on this one. However, those people would be forced to run on their record. Think about the votes that were on the D side this past cycle. And I know both of them are stepping away, and they didn't have to vote on that much controversial. Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. Do you think they were going to make a deciding vote? Do you think... who's in Montana? Again, showing my age, my brain. Tester, Montana, Democrat. Is that correct, Seth? I believe. He's not going to make a vote that, I mean, Montana being represented by a Democrat it makes you scratch your head anyway. He's not going to make a decision to be the 50th vote to lose his job in the most exclusive club in the world. It's just not going to happen. And if he does, he's got to run on that vote. That's what he has to do. He has to run on the vote, whatever that vote may be, however controversial that vote may be. I got it right. It was Tester, Montana, Democrat. So, wow. Brain's still working. We're going to go back to the phone lines, 216-901-0945. Joe in Cleveland. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for the call.
You're welcome, Rob. Just another point. I had a couple I was going to make. One was, when you brought up earlier about Trump didn't debate in the primaries, and we all understand why, there was no advantage for him. But in this one, this is a presidential election where you got two candidates left, who's best to run the country, and you have to debate in presidential elections.
Joe, I'm going to bounce back. I would say that is the easy excuse that people are using. The same reason you just gave for Donald Trump not participating is the same reason Joe Biden's going to give for not participating. There's no advantage to be gained for him to go out on the debate stage, so why should he do
it? There is. He's got to explain the border and stuff. There is a reason.
But why didn't... But
Trump don't have to explain. He's running against his own people, his own party, and basically,
so
that, not one of those people in his party was against the way the border is. They were all on Trump's side. So what's
hang on. But do you understand how people in the middle view that when Trump folks always have an answer and a justification why the rules don't apply to him? And I'm just trying to help people understand that you can't have it both ways. It doesn't work that way. Mike DeWine did that in Ohio. You know,
I understand what you're saying, but I think they had a poll a while back before Trump came out and issued that memorandum to Biden, I'll debate you anywhere, anytime. That was almost like, and again, don't quote me, but it was a high number, like 74% of the American people in general want to see their presidential candidates debate.
People want to see them debate. But I think if you'd have looked at the same poll, if you'd asked people, do they want to see Donald Trump against his primary opponents, they probably would have said, yeah, we want to see him go against and have to answer questions to Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley and others.
Would that side of the poll be the Democrats? Because the Republicans, conservatives, basically knew why he wasn't debating. There was no advantage for him.
Hang on. The Democrats are saying, well, we know why Joe Biden won't debate. There's no advantage for him. They're using the same points you are. You're just on different sides.
I agree with you on that, but here's the problem. He's the president of the United States. He's got to explain himself.
Well, hang on, though. This is where I'm confused. Donald Trump wants to be the president of the United States again. Shouldn't he have to explain himself why it's better for him that only has 4 years left than someone who has 8 years? So if the Republicans were serious about wanting taking back control of this country, wouldn't they say, well, let's let someone who maybe has 8 years. Shouldn't Donald Trump have to answer those questions is my point.
Oh, no, I agree with you on that. But the other side, the Democratic side, has already known what Donald Trump stands for. Closed borders, this, that. They already know where he stands. So for him to go out and debate his own people agenda.
Hang on. Everybody knows where Joe Biden stands. He's just showed it for 4 years. He's terrible on borders. He's terrible on inflation. He's terrible. Why should he have to debate? He's terrible.
Well,
I think we're beating a dead horse, and there's people yelling at the radio. But I'm just trying to get people to understand.
Let the Republicans debate the Democratic issue that's wrong. Not have Republicans debate the same issue. There's no debate on the border with these Republicans that were running. Let the Republican debate the Democrat on why the border's wrong.
Yeah. I hear you. Joe, appreciate the call. Thanks for making the call. I think that's the frustration for the majority of Americans is party politics. And people say, well, I want their party to do it this way because it makes sense, but don't make our party do the same thing that we're asking you to do because it doesn't work that way. I don't get it. And if you can't see the other side of that, the flip side of that, it leaves me scratching my head. Listen, and I'm one who doesn't understand why primary debates happen and they continually tear down each other and rip down each other constantly. Constantly. That drives me crazy. But then don't walk away from it in one arena because you say there's nothing to gain, but then get frustrated when the guy you want to debate says, I don't want to debate because there's nothing to gain. That's the part that leaves me scratching my head. Do I want to see the presidential candidates debate? Of course I do. Of course. We all want to see them talk and go back and forth. I get awkward sweats during the... Seth, I sweat like crazy during those debates because just like Kamala Harris last night sitting behind the president, like willing the words out. I'm a big control guy and I can't control those moments. And I'm like, he's going to forget what to say here. He's really going to mess this up.
I was hoping for some of those moments. He had a couple of flubs, but...
The AI doing the closed captioning was having a tough time on a few of those words.
Yeah, absolutely.
As it does.
Health insurance program to get information on all of your options.
Keeping you informed among the uninformed. Always Right Radio with Bob France on The Answer.
We're back. Always right, Radio AM 1420, The Answer. I got a text during the break. Someone that said, "You a calm control guy? Question mark. Really? Question mark." That was from my mom. Thanks, Mom. Trying my best to stay calm and under control. Back to the phones we go. Phil, University Heights, thanks for the phone call. Good morning.
Good morning. I wanted to first comment about what this speech was, how it was structured and what it was all about, and then I want to talk about Donald Trump for a minute. We're in an era where we don't have regular politics anymore. This is all programmed propaganda. There's a system that they use, and they use it all the time on us. Number one, they immediately accuse conservatives, Republicans, the enemy, with doing the things that they're actually doing. And by the time they get it out, so they've covered themselves, and they made it look like they may put us in a position of trying to defend what we're doing. But in fact, they're the perpetrators. And that's just what Biden was doing last night. That type of propaganda. And the other aspect is that, you know, this was the latest speech of its kind ever. Usually the State of the Union is in January. He's had all these months to get ready for this speech, and they waited carefully till after the big primaries were over so that he didn't damage himself. And then they must have built this thing up slowly and made him, you know, he's a tremendous performer. He's an actor. And you get him there ranting and raving, and he's in his prime. And that's what they did. The whole speech was ranting and raving and false propaganda about his opponents.
Yeah, so, Phil, I think they play on, you know, you talk about it's not being politics as usual. I always feel like they just play on emotions. Everything's an emotional tactic to elicit a response. I compare it to if I was ever charged with a crime and I was ever in a courtroom and being charged and prosecuted, I sure hope they have DNA evidence. I hope they have video evidence. I hope they have all this evidence against me of what I've done wrong, because I don't want to go against someone who's an actor who then plays on the emotions of a jury just to get a response and sympathy. And I feel like that's what political campaigns do in this modern era when they know they have 15 or 30 seconds because Americans have short attention spans.
Yes, that's... I don't know if what the I think that it's more related to the who's backing all of this and where they're coming from and what their training is, which leads us back to Obama and changing the country. But I don't want to go into that. But I want to talk about Donald Trump for just a minute. The other topic is a huge topic, but Donald Trump is a perfectionist. Donald Trump is I understand his field because I'm in the same field, not quite at that level, but. You know, he's always looking to see if people are right on the money and they're doing their thing and they do what they say they're going to do. And if they don't and they don't perform, they're out. And it's tough for him because, you know, he has to find people that he can trust, that understand the design, have the picture in mind, and are willing to do it. When he got into office, the greatest insurrection. They're talking about insurrections. The number one insurrection in my lifetime happened in 2016. How I passed a president going out of office and his former Secretary of State would corrupt the FBI, corrupt the Department of Justice, and come up with a scheme to make his ability to govern almost impossible.
The overreach of government and the FBI, we have issues for sure.
And this was clearly orchestrated by Obama, and the false information was given by his opponents, and it's Hillary Clinton, and it's just too unbelievable to believe that these people got away with it, and there were no charges, and so on.
Well, it is Phil, and the one thing I'll say to that though, Donald Trump sometimes and. Everyone's attacking him. Don't get me wrong. But he takes it and then he dishes it out. And there's a lot of times it's friendly fire. The things he said about who is still close to Donald Trump that was close to Donald Trump in 2016 when he got in? And why aren't they close to him anymore? Many times it's not from their own wrongdoings, but from him. You know, maybe they didn't like the tie he wore. He wears the same color tie every time, so I don't know how they don't like it. Maybe they said something about his golf swing. But he is always on the attack, and anytime he feels the smallest slight, he's going to... I mean, look what he said about Kayleigh McEnany, for crying out loud. I mean, the guy just has a way of alienating people and pushing them away if they don't have the correct last name.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you, but, you know, he's a New Yorker. I know a lot of New Yorkers, and in that, for coming from that genre, that environment, that's a typical thing.
I understand. I hate to cut you off. We're up against it. We got to go. But he is a New Yorker. But we can't continue to make excuses for the guy that wants to be president of the United States again. I think he has to walk the line.
And obviously, well, I didn't get to the good stuff.
Obviously, he's much different than his opponent. This is a clear
the answer.
Enlightening the sleeping masses and stoking the fire of the American dream. Always Right Radio with Bob Frantz on The Answer.
Oh, Seth. Final segment.
We're quick.
Hard to believe.
Yes, indeed.
I guess when you're having fun. We had a lot of fun today. Now, I know I'm going to get responses on Twitter, X, social media, regarding what I said, acting like I'm anti-Donald Trump. And then when I say something nice about him, I'm going to get messages from never-Trumpers on the right saying I'm too pro-Donald Trump. I'm trying just to shoot you straight. I'm trying to give you the facts. I'm not bashing Donald Trump. I'm not promoting Donald Trump. I'm telling you, if you like the status quo, then you're not going to vote for Donald Trump. I'm also telling you the November election is, let me do the East Liverpool math real quick. 8 months away? Is that right? Yeah, 8 months away. A little under 8 months away. So will these two be the ones on the ballot? I mean, you know, the conventions are coming up. I think Phil made a great point. This is the latest that a State of the Union has been in a while. It usually happens early, but you know, got through Super Tuesday, made sure everything was smooth on both sides before the captain of the ship. Is he really the captain of the ship? I think Podesta et al. Are behind the scenes maneuvering and moving things around and telling him if there's an iceberg coming up. So, Lisa from Medina on line one. Good morning, Lisa. Thanks for the call. Hey, Lisa, how are you? No more Lisa.
Lisa.
Where'd Lisa go? All right. Well, we tried to go to Lisa. She wasn't there. You know, one of the callers earlier brought up fentanyl in our porous southern border and how it's pouring over the southern border. And it still amazes me that states continually pass laws to allow the access for drugs, marijuana, cannabis to be freely sold and used. Now, I know, again, I'm probably going to get hate mail and things from that. But the fact that we have a drug problem that we have in this country and we continually make it easier to obtain drugs, like, does that not defeat the purpose of what we're trying to do? And how does that play as we move forward? That is the one thing I will say, too, from the State of the Union last night. President Biden said something about Big Pharma another time. Man, I'll tell you what, Seth, I must have yelled at the radio and TV more than I thought last night.
Me too.
Because he talked about Big Pharma and standing up to Big Pharma. Listen, we're from Northeast Ohio. We love Travis Kelce, but he has like 87 Band-Aids. He's number 87. He's got 87 Band-Aids on his arm from all the shots he's taken from Big Pharma. And the government's paying for a lot of those shots.
That's what I was thinking last night. Look at Moderna and Pfizer alone. Standing up to who?
Yeah. They have a license to print money. I think the 10th booster will be available coming up.
So they're coming actually out with a brand new vaccine.
Brand new. And do you know if you take the COVID vaccine, I was told by many of these elected officials, you can't get the virus. That's what they said. That's what I heard. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
I don't think that there is.
Oh.
I mean, I was told, yes, by my, well, it's not my president, but I was told by the president that if you take that shot, no, you're not going to get it. You can't spread it.
What number shot? I hate to make light of it.
47, I think, was the magic one that they said was okay to take, and everything's going to be just fine.
Just fine. Do we have Lisa back from Medina? Lisa, are you back? Good morning. Thanks for the call.
I am back. I was talking and no one could hear me. Sorry.
That's the story of my life, Lisa, at my house around the dinner table.
Hey, it's always good to hear you, Rob, on the radio. You do a great job sitting in. And I want to thank you for all the things that you do. We are a bunch of super citizens that use our lives to change, hopefully, the world for the better, right?
Amen.
We believe so. And I did not listen to it last night. I was actually at the Lorain County Republican Lincoln Day dinner.
I'm jealous of you, Lisa. I'm jealous of you. I knew I was hosting this morning, and I knew I had to. I listened on radio, I watched on television, and then I read it, and huge shout out to Melanie Elsie, legislative director at the American Policy Roundtable, for sending me her notes. She should have hosted the show today because she'd have been better and more thorough than me.
Oh, oh, and I miss Melanie. It's so wonderful with the education. I really had to lean on her a lot when I was on the state board. But anyway, yeah, I didn't listen. I was there. I don't even have a TV hooked up to anything other than a DVD. I think it's healthier that way. But we know what the monsters are, and we have to defeat the left. Prager did a great job at the Medina Lincoln Day dinner talking about how we have to defeat the left in any way that we can. So I just encourage people not to listen to the division. This is absolutely not a nightmare. We can't wake up. We are living in this strange world, but we have to be happy warriors. We have to love God and our family and have a close relationship with our neighbors and talk about these things that we're not supposed to talk about, you know, like religion and politics. It matters. We really have to fight this good fight right now.
Amen. Amen. And I think you guys are fighting the fight. Is it tomorrow morning?
Yes. We have Grover Norquist will be our speaker at the Thirsty Cowboy tomorrow morning. I've been asking him for years, and I finally wore him down, I think. So we're really excited to have him. He comes all the way from D.C. and has been fighting against, you know, high taxes and trying to get reasonable tax regulation in and smaller government. And he's been a warrior for a long time. Also on the board of the NRA years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, for those that can join tomorrow, Thirsty Cowboy, Medina, Ohio, what time, Lisa?
At 9 a.m. It'll go till about 10:30. And welcome everybody. And, you know, who doesn't want, at least the people that listen to this show, who doesn't want tax reform and lower taxes? You don't have to be a political savvy person, you know, just drag that neighbor down the road because they have to understand what we can do to recover from the high gas prices, the high taxes, all these things. And we can do that if we're more knowledgeable in who we're voting for.
Amen. Amen. Well, we appreciate you, Lisa. We appreciate all the work that you and the wonderful folks at McFan do. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
God bless.
My pleasure. And everyone have a good weekend. I wish I was going to Babel, too.
God bless. See you soon, Lisa. Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, you know, we dove into the State of the Union a lot, talked about it. When we think about that porous southern border and the things that have happened, you know, your heart has to break when you think of the family of Lake and Riley. And acts such as that are preventable if we just make certain things a priority. And it should not be a political issue. The safety and welfare of American citizens and protecting the home front should not be a political issue. That should be in the interest. We watch people in America walk down the street waving flags of other countries constantly. And you know what? People have the constitutional right to do that. But let me ask you a question. What other country in the world is that happening in? What other country are people walking down the streets waving the American flag? And some people say, well, that's because they hate us. Well, they hate us so bad that people are risking life and limb to get here every single day because they know it is freedom. And we're giving them stuff for breaking the law. We're rewarding what they're doing from an illegal perspective. We shouldn't be doing that. Should we have immigrants in this country? Of course. Of course. And we've designated a pathway for them to go about applying for asylum and doing it through.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.